It is Stars and Stripes talking all things US sport. Nick Maxwell, former Collingwood Premiership captain, will join us a little bit later on. But the first person we're going to welcome is a little bit out of sorts just at the moment due to the fact that Steve Salisbury's stolen his chair. I welcome Corey McKernan, but as I welcome you, congratulations. Last time we spoke was the conclusion of the show last Sunday, and you've had a new arrival in the family.
Yeah, it's ended up being something quite freaky that day because my wedding anniversary was on the 15th. My sister-in-law's birthday was on the 15th. We had our daughter on the 15th. Kirsten's sister in Houston went into labour on the 14th that went into the 15th. So there's four 15. Big events that have happened on the 15th.
A
so
family affair.
2015 was looking like it's going to be my year until Steve Salisbury sat in my seat.
Yeah, and now you think the Colts are doomed because you've come in
by
here.
By the way,
yeah.
What happened to our music tonight? What happened to our music?
We'll dig up our music. We'll
get Leonard, our music. You haven't had our music. We didn't hear, what's his...
Leonard Hankerson.
With the Redskins touchdown.
You realise that's the first time all year we haven't heard the music.
Yeah, and you've changed
chairs in my
too.
Seat.
Steve Salisbury's stolen your chair.
He sits in my seat.
Every week he's coming here and
I don't like
under
it with the Colts being up and about at this stage. Yeah, just because the 49ers have added, by the way.
Corey is up in arms right now.
Corey, do you know, and I've told you this, that... From the very beginning of the season, I had the Colts in the Super Bowl against the Niners. I did. So they are in a very good spot right now.
I won't mention the second part of that.
No, well, we know why that happened. We know what went wrong there. But now the Colts, it's all about Andrew Luck.
Well, the voice you're hearing here is Steve Salisbury, of course, back from the United States.
I got in this morning.
In Times Square, but nice to have you back with us as well.
It's good being here.
Alex Cohen, who was here last week, of course, we've also spoken to him numerous times. You've heard him on SEN and back again. Nice to have you here as well.
It's good to be here. We have some conference championship football early tomorrow morning here, so very exciting time in sports.
Reflecting back, in fact, before we do that, Corey, of course, we've been talking a lot about your Super Bowl party, but a few other terrific developments you guys have got over the coming weeks as well.
Yeah, well, look, it's a really big few weeks coming up for us. But, yeah, I don't know which part to start. But, look, one of the other ideas around the Super Bowl and owning the space, what we wanted to do is now we've actually come up with a celebrity game. And thanks to the guys at Dot Melbourne, which is a new domain name addresses. The way that they're happening in the world and I'll get to that in a minute, but I'll explain a little bit about the game and the way that what's happening with that. And look, we've got two opposing captains. We will have Jonathan Brown and Wayne Carey.
Very nice.
The Melbourne Maidens ladies NFL team. I'll be mixing in with the team and Nick Maxwell, Brendan Favola, Wendell Saylor. Look, there'll be a cast of 1,000. Look, it'll be a really great event trying to hopefully get us to maybe possibly broadcast live and do a real Super Bowl preview from the event.
We ought to do that.
On Sunday, the 1st of February. But as I said, brought to you by the guys at Dot Melbourne. Now, the other one that's come about, now, my good friend Rolando, he's got Owen's management group, and he's actually hosting at the moment Andre Roberts and Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, wow.
Now, for everyone out there, stay tuned because on Thursday night, we do the official launch, thanks to again to the guys at Dot Melbourne. Larry Fitzgerald and Andre Roberts will be in attendance. So it's a pretty topical one at the moment, Steve Salisbury, in terms of we can maybe ask Larry Fitzgerald where he's actually off to. Amazing coup for us. And like I said, thanks to the guys at Dot Melbourne. Now, just on that, look, like I said before, it's a very specific thing getting an email like this, and especially living in the world's most livable city. Well, now you got one of the best email addresses too. So, and I think the thing at the moment, if you get in quick with all these sorts of things, you get in first so you can have electrician.melbourne. Yeah, I mean, it's really specific. So, yeah, I mean, you know, all the .com phase and all these sorts of things. With this one at the moment, because it's so fresh and it's into the market, you could get golf.melbourne. Even with us and what we've ended up with celebritybowl.melbourne. So, thanks to these guys, yeah, I mean, as I've mentioned them a few times, look, it's going to be a fantastic event and it's a huge coup for us to be out of, okay, I know in the Super Bowl we're going to have Terrell Owens, but to be able to have Larry Fitzgerald, and
Andre Roberts. From a football standpoint, just being able to get, you know, two Hall of Fame caliber receivers like Larry Fitzgerald coming out for the Celebrity Bowl, then Terrell Owens. I mean, that's very impressive just to see them coming, you know, so far across the world for an event
and
like this.
The good thing about that is, remember we interviewed T.O. T.O. is a really nice guy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Unfortunately, he did not maximize his potential. Larry Fitz definitely
but
has.
But he might have. I mean, Terrell Owens is a top five statistical receiver of all time. I mean, that
he is, but he could have been better. I watched him
the best receiver in
he didn't have the work ethic of Jerry Rice, but when he was in – I watched him his rookie season and in 1996, and in the preseason he made some freakish catches, and he was so big and so strong, I thought, this guy opposite Jerry Rice, we're going to be unbeatable. And I just think – and I asked him the question, you know, when he was on, hey, man, what would you do differently? And he kind of hedged around it, but he basically said, you know, I probably didn't handle myself as well as I could have. Fitz handles himself as well as he could have. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Statistically, he was great. I think he could have been better.
And look, yeah, like I said, to be able to have these sorts of players, and especially, look, there'll be details that come to hand over the next 24 hours. I think thanks to the guys at Doc Melbourne, what we're going to do is we're actually going to come up with an offer. Whoever buys tickets into our Super Bowl party, well, thanks to Doc Melbourne, they're actually going to give away some tickets to actually meet Larry Fitzgerald Thursday night. So, yeah, I mean, the opportunity to get up close and personal with these guys, as you two gentlemen know, is not an easy one. So, again, a big thank you to those guys at Doc Melbourne because they really supported me through this whole event.
Some fantastic opportunities there as well. Now, before we get into last Sunday's matches and touch on those results, we'll discuss the silly season and the coaching merry-go-round.
Oh,
part of it is Denver obviously getting beaten last week with John Fox sacked. Now he's at Chicago. A little bit of news. We've already had people asking off the SMS about potential San Francisco changes, but I guess it was a summary of what we had. Yes, they have.
Already made a move. As I said a lot on Twitter, I've been on the radio in a few weeks, but asinine that they even got rid of Harbaugh. Moronic. Stupid, stupid decision. He wins. That's the whole point of the game is to win. He did it consistently. He's done it everywhere he's been. He's going to turn Michigan around. And Jed,
to the tune of $7 million a year. But, I mean, that's well-deserved to bring you back a college football program back. But
yeah,
well, now the Jim Tomasula era.
Yeah, and this is going to go really badly. It is. And it's the thing that's really bad.
So now that you said that, it'll probably go really good.
Look, if that happens, I'd love to be wrong about this. But the problem,
no, I get it.
What the
I get
problem
it totally.
Is when Jed became the owner, right? I wanted him to be more like his uncle Eddie, who was the original – well, not the original owner, but he bought the team in 77 and owned them during the glory years. And then because of – he got in a bit of trouble, and he had to hand the team over to his sister, who let her husband John run it. John was – he was as bad an owner as there was, made stupid decisions. When they hired Harbaugh, I thought, you know what? They finally get it. They finally get it because he didn't get it for years. Thought they got it. He doesn't get it. So we're in bad shape. Jim Tomasula, he listened to him speak. It's not impressive.
To explain all of that, John Fox sacked by Denver, goes to Chicago. Jim Tomasula to San Francisco. Oakland have hired Jack Del Rio to be the next head coach.
Jack Del
Rio. 4-year deal.
Yeah.
Buffalo gets Rex Ryan.
I don't
head coach coming from the Jets.
I like that.
You like that?
With a top
and Ted Bowles defense. Goes to the Jets.
But what about the offensive side of the ball? He's never. You look at where he's coached.
He took the Jets to two AFC championships with Mark Sanchez as their starting quarterback.
It's because of the defense and the running game.
And that defense with the Jets is not even close to how good this Buffalo Bills defense, the front seven.
He's terrible for quarterbacks. Terrible.
Well, you look at the quarterbacks; they don't have one.
Well, but you look at the guys who played for him. Everybody who played for, like you guys had Mark Sanchez this year. Do you think all of a sudden he became a great quarterback or became a really decent quarterback overnight? No, he's in a better system with a coach who actually knows how to utilize a decent quarterback. Michael Vick was decent in Philadelphia, horrific with the Jets. Why? Because of the coach. That's my feeling. I don't like it. I would have gone with a more offensive-minded person. Someone who can develop
a
QB.
I like the Rex Ryan hire, and I do like the Jack Del Rio hire as well. I think he's going to be a great head coaching fit for Oakland. And then Todd Bowles signing with the New York Jets, the former Philadelphia Eagles defensive coordinator.
Did you like him? I mean, you have probably some –
he didn't really have a successful reign as the Eagles defensive coordinator. It was their worst defensive season in franchise history, but it was due to a lot of injuries, a struggling team. He goes to Arizona.
Has good defensive players, yeah. It's all about personnel. Don't be fooled. And here's the thing I don't like about every single year, these idiot owners, guys like Woody Johnson, think they've got to hire the best coordinator out there. That's not – if you have a good coach, yes, they may be a diva, they may be a pain in the ass, but you know what? Give them the money, give them what they want, and stay out of their way. That's what a good CEO does. He hires the right kind of people who may be smarter and lets them do their job.
Denver and Atlanta don't have coaches at the moment.
Denver will hire Gary Kubiak. What do you bet?
Gary Kubiak says he doesn't want to leave Baltimore. I'm sure that a certain
yesterday. Well, I was in the States until yesterday. I heard it was reported yesterday that he's going to interview for the job.
Really?
Yep. So I think he was going to not leave Baltimore until the Denver job came open. Then because of he played there. He's
former
very
head coach there too.
Yeah, he's a very good coach. He was an offensive coordinator for them, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Before he went across to the Texans. So. That one makes sense. I think Gary Kubiak will be the new Broncos coach. I don't know what the Falcons are going to do. Maybe Josh McDaniels, but they can't talk to him depending on what happens tomorrow, they won't be able to talk to him until February the 4th.
I mean, there's the whole coordinator conversation with Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator for Seattle, being interviewed for all these jobs. But, again, he's got one, possibly two very important games that could kind of distinguish his future as it goes on.
Now, Corey, and for you, the reason why we're talking about Denver is that they're beaten by the Colts. Denver, a couple of disappointing exits in a row. Your thoughts on the game, and I guess your thoughts on the Peyton Manning legacy, which always gets discussed. Was he best regular season quarterback?
Well, I think that makes his record now
8-10.
Season games.
I did not thought it was worse than that. I thought it was like six.
Eight and ten.
Yeah.
In playoff games?
Look, either way, it's not a great record that Peyton Manning's assembled in the off season. And I know, look, we'd mentioned it several times. Like, you see someone, I think you always come back to Tom Brady and you look at Tom Brady's record in the postseason. Okay, with a bit more luck Tom Brady could have had a couple of more rings on his fingers. But I don't know, like the other thing that hadn't really come to light, I don't know whether you guys had seen this, but it was talk of, and even Peyton Manning acknowledged this, he had a torn...
tricep. Quadricep.
Torn quad.
Yeah.
Now, it made a lot of sense when you've seen a lot of the throws that Peyton Manning was throwing in the playoffs, because there was a lot of junk that he was actually throwing. It was un-Peyton Manning-like in the playoffs. Now, the hard thing is, once you put yourself out there and you cross the line, well, you're going to get judged either way you play. So I don't know. Look, it was I thought towards the end of the game, as glad as I was to see the Colts win, it was always there was this other side of me actually watching something unfold that like Peyton Manning was this, how far is this from the end? Like, and is he going to be capable of, okay, if he comes back next year? That's what I mean. I think the decision time, and I think there was some things that happened with the coach and what's going on at Denver, that it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
If Peyton Manning was a John Fox guy, John Fox would still be the head coach of the 100%. Denver Broncos.
Yep.
So there was obviously some sort of disconnect, or John Fox now gone. It'll be very interesting to see who the Broncos do hire. I mean, apparently Peyton Manning and Adam Gase are on the same page, as Gase has been the offensive coordinator for the last 3 years. So we'll be interesting to see what happens.
I think it's going to be Kubiak, because Peyton Manning's going to play, what, 1-2 years at most?
I mean, could not be playing at all.
Or he might play. They asked him at the end of the game, and he could not say definitively.
It's hard to make a call on Peyton Manning at the moment with the way he is. Like, the way he went out at the end of the season, you could easily go, well, maybe it's best that he does hang up the boots. But then there's the other side of it. Well, and that's probably the part that is in Peyton's mind.
Does he want to end it? You know,
yeah. I don't want to end it like that.
And lose to your former team at home in the playoffs for a guy who's had so much regular season success, been widely considered one of the best quarterbacks of all time. In my opinion, he's the best quarterback of my generation. Do I think he'll hang up with a bitter taste in his mouth like that? I don't personally think so. But a lot when it comes to the health of Peyton Manning, the neck, the quad. anything can happen.
I don't know. Look, I know that we've all spoken about it, and I have as well, like saying, okay, his postseason record, but at the end of the day, he's won the MVP four times. Mm-hmm. Like, that is going to help hold him in good stead, I think, when it comes to talking about the greatest quarterbacks ever. I think he's going to be...
I don't think he's on the same page as Brady or Montana.
You do or do not?
Don't.
You don't. Okay.
No, I think you... That position is all... I mean, it gets a huge... It's a team game, obviously, and if you don't have the personnel around you, to your point about, you know, Dan Quinn, he's got great people in Seattle on his defense. And if you're a quarterback and you don't have the guys around you, you're not going to do well. But I look at Brady and what he did in the postseason with the guys that he's had around him. He has not had Jerry Rice or Marvin Harrison or the guys that Peyton Manning had. So I think that Tom Brady's a lot better. Well, I also think Montana's better.
On the flip side, though,
I think Terry Bradshaw's better.
The guy that was playing across the other side for Indianapolis, Andrew Luck, like where I know you're a huge fan of
him,
like we all are, but I've always thought with the Colts that, yeah, look, I thought win a playoff game, make another step forward. Did I think they'd come down to the Final Four? No, but...
Yeah, you did. Yes, you did.
I didn't. I genuinely didn't. I even said that last week. Rewind the tape, and we said this last week.
He said it, but this is the process for Andrew Luck. Year one, you go to the playoffs, you don't win a game. Year two, you go to the playoffs, you do win a game. Year three, you go to the playoffs, and you make the AFC Championship. So do I think it stops here for them? Yes, and we'll talk about that a lot more. But I do agree with you, Steve. I think that Andrew Luck has the potential, obviously, being a number one overall pick and having such the highly touted, you know, reputation coming into it, he could be one of the best.
But he's such a bright guy, and he does make a lot of mistakes, but he can come back. I would say if I had one guy in the NFL right now, it'd be either him or Aaron Rodgers. If I had one guy,
Tom Brady. You said before Tom Brady was the best.
Yeah, Tom Brady. If you had one quarterback to start your franchise right now,
you have
to take all the elements considered: age, reputation, who he's had on his team, his contract situation.
It's Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
The one thing I think with Andrew Luck and what I did say last week is that Andrew Luck has a great sense of the occasion, and that's the big thing.
He's very grounded.
He really senses that. In moments of the game and certain games that he knows that if he's going to be considered in the next realm of and put in the same category as Tom Brady, he has a fantastic sense of awareness when it comes to
that. He gets it, and he plays his ass off in every single game. He has bad games, and I've listened to so many different people say, you know what, he'll throw a god-awful interception, and he gets to the sideline, he wipes it. He comes back the next series gunning it again. So... I love him. And he's big and he's strong.
Two things quickly. One, Shane Watson's been bowled for 42, so Australia are 2 for 119. But we do have a lot to get through. So before our break, obviously the Green Bay's 26-21 win over Dallas. A lot of people believing that Dallas probably controlled the game for the majority, but also thoughts on the... On the completion call or non-completion
what?
Call.
It's a rule.
Did something happen in that game?
The sad thing about that is it... As Alex said, it's the rule, and that's the way that it goes, and it's called to the letter of the law. And unfortunately, it's a bad rule, because if a defensive player made the same catch, and when he got down, dropped the ball, it would be an interception. Mm-hmm. But the wide receiver doesn't get that, and so I think it needs to be changed, because that was a phenomenal catch. Now, whether or not he scored the touchdown, and they take I guess that would have given him a 28-26 lead, presumably. Would it have been 28-20? I think it would have been. Could Green Bay get the ball back with 4 minutes? I mean, are you going to hold
Aaron Rodgers to less than a field goal when he's been 330 yards and three touchdowns before that?
Know. He was really good. Aaron Rodgers is really good. I didn't like the call. I mean, when I watched it, thought it was a catch, but after hearing the rule and listening to the logic used by the official, it made sense. Mm. Yeah, crappy rule.
It's a bad rule, and it's one that they revisit every single year, but nonetheless, it is a rule, and by rule, it was ruled correctly. It's much to the chagrin of the Dallas Cowboy fans that claim that they're being ruled against and the entire NFL is against them. It wasn't a catch.
You're a Philly fan, so you can't stand the Cowboys.
I was here last Sunday, and I said the Cowboys were going to win that game. I thought that they were. I like this Cowboys team from a football perspective because they could run the ball. They have a big offensive line.
Yeah.
Obviously, like Des Bryant.
Yeah, it's the way they played in the old days.
I think one of the biggest things that it did, too, it actually robbed the game of what would have been an amazing NFL moment for, right. for end of time. Like you talk of, there's a real famous catch of that Montana threw in one of
DeWitt Clark.
See, you guys can rattle it off.
The 49er fan can rattle it off.
The rule seriously sucks because I think the intent of what Dez Bryant was trying to do was to score.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant has great hands. Like we all know that. He wasn't just trying to catch the ball. And anyone who's marked a ball and you go to ground, you tuck it in. That's your first instinct. His first instinct, and it's like any goal sneak around goal, that when you know you're close to goal, you know where you are. You've got that awareness. So even when once he marked the ball overhead, he knew that he was trying to turn and trying to get over into the end zone. That's the biggest thing I don't like about the call. I know by the letter of the law, it's there. But the biggest thing I don't like about it is the fact that
feel of the game.
It's
almost.
The intent of what Bryant was trying to do. He was trying to score. Okay, it may have the last little bit looked a little bit clumsy, but look, it was...
Just to have that split reaction of one, making the catch, and two, trying to recognize where you are on the position of the field and trying to score. It's a heck of an athletic
play. I tell you, when you and even that I watched was. It again. I watched it again the other day, and even what was it? It was on 4th and 6. It was like even the build up to that play again. And
was
even,
it 4th and 6 that play?
Yeah, it was 4th and 6. And even when you're watching the play, and I was
Tony
watching
Romo's
it again.
Legacy if that's a complete catch.
Yeah, even you're watching when I was watching it again, I sat there and it was like I had goosebumps again. Going, okay, I know Jordan, my mate that follows the Cowboys, didn't have goosebumps, but even I was watching again because it was such a pivotal moment. You go, hang on, this is it. This is the game on the line. This is why we all watch. And I think that was a bit of an anticlimax for everyone. That okay, Romo had the balls to throw it, but unfortunately didn't pan out that way. But I don't know whether everyone's been following it as well. That obviously the Cowboys now got the difficulties in keeping DeMarco Murray
and Dez Bryant.
Yeah. I know with DeMarco Murray, they've actually lowballed him an offer of about $4 million. But you guys know which one. If you were the Cowboys, I know what I think. I think DeMarco Murray is the least one they can afford to lose.
I agree with that.
But it seems like at the moment...
See, I think you have to keep Dez Bryant just because the lifespan of an NFL running back is so short.
That's a
good
point.
If you want to get your bang for your buck and having your franchise be relevant for 5-6 years, wide receivers last longer, and you have an elite wide receiver in Dez Bryant.
You do. The only thing I would say to that, and that's a good point, but the only thing I would say to counter that is that... one of the reasons that Romo's been so good is because of
Dez
this year
and the offensive line. And the other thing is, if you think about wide receiver, who's the last free agent wide receiver who got big money who's paid off for their team?
I would say Terrell. Oh, not Terrell Owens.
Not Terrell Owens.
Because he was traded to the
Eagles. Think about Mike Wallace went down to the Dolphins for big money. We haven't seen him. We haven't seen much from him. I mean, if you go through, because I looked at a list of guys who because I thought about this, and I looked at a list of guys who had received big money, there was nobody that's really gone and paid off for the team. So, look, I agree with you. Dez is great. Really good player. But I just think Murray is the reason. Murray's in a lot of people's mind. An MVP candidate.
We do have to get to a break. We'll take a look at tomorrow morning's action very shortly. Australia are 2 for 126. We'll get an update from Smokey as to how that's happening and what the equation is from here. And a little bit later on, Nick Maxwell to join us as well.